seat you're in. But we also have another special treat this morning, and that is that Brandon Hisler is going to come on up, and he's going to share the message with us this morning. So come on up here, Brandon. He and I have been kind of working together on this thing over the last couple weeks, maybe a little longer than that, and so he's got some things to share, and I just want to say thanks, Brandon, for doing this. And, you know, these are all your family and friends here, so don't get too freaked out, okay?
Okay.
All right.
So how's everyone doing today, this morning, whatever it is now? Good. You know, I was going to say good morning, but, you know, you've heard about six times walking in the door, so I had to change it up just a little bit. So, should probably get my notes out so I don't forget nothing. So I have this unique opportunity that, you know, most people don't get, but I'm very excited to just, you know, come forth with it. And I changed my mind about probably 67,000 times on what I wanted to speak about. And ultimately, I came to something that is a little more, you know, special to me or actually means something. And I don't have slides. Sorry, you're just going to have to stare right at me. That's right. So I'm going to be talking about just kind of giving your time. And growing up, I was always told, you know, you should always be willing to help people. And there's such a huge need for it. And I just kind of want to, you know, from the youth of the nation, just kind of bring it to you guys and just try to maybe get someone going in their journey of helping people or, you know, whatever you're going after. So, as I said earlier, I just kind of grew up being told, you know, need to help people and stuff. And I definitely took that with me. You know, I've been working at Pine Lake camps over the summer trying to, you know, help push youth in hopefully the right direction most of the time, hopefully. So I want to just kind of start by opening up the good old Bible to Mark 12, 41, 44. If you have your digital pocket computer that you want to pull it up on or your good old old-fashioned Bible, either one works for me, you know. I'll put those in backwards. That's fine. Anyways. So I was doing my research. This was kind of like one of the first ones that popped out, and it kind of, you know, popped into my head. God probably shoved it in there for me. So this is kind of what I want to start off with, and I'm going to read out loud to the best of my abilities. I'm just terrible at reading, I'm sorry. So it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but the poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, only worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all others. They all gave out their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything and that she had to live on. So I know this is talking about more so money, but I'm going to take it more into more so your time, where in this verse we're going to take money more so as your time and representing of that. So in this verse, from what I'm understanding, is basically we are, as Americans, the rich man. Like, we have just about anything we could possibly want in this country. We, like, spend more money than any kind. It's crazy, you know. We all put in, you know, our set, you know, 10%, whatever it is. But we should be more like that widow, where we put in, especially I want to go back to the time thing, where we put in more time because there's such an absolute need. Like, last year there was almost, like, no camp because there's no counselors, and so it's just super important that people are, like, giving their time. And, like, you look at, like, YFC too, like, huge need for volunteers. And it's not even in that, like, youth setting, because that's kind of where, like, I feel called, so I'm more so working with youth more of the time and all that kind of stuff. But it can just be, like, one-on-one with people too. And I think that we need to give much more of our time as well to put that, to just kind of help push people, you know, in the right direction, help them go through hard times, because we are pretty lucky, you know, being in the church, being in America, you know, we're just got it kind of good, but a lot of people maybe didn't grow up in the church, and I think we need to help push them into the church. And I mean, you kind of look around, and like, I look around, you know, I've been here since about, it was about wee lad, you know, and you just kind of look around, and you'd be like, yeah, I know most of these people, you know, but we should really start trying to get new people. I mean, there's seats everywhere, you know, we can still fill it up a little bit. COVID's kind of gone down, so it's okay. You don't have to be within 6 feet anymore. And yeah, back to time, you know, because that's the main point. Basically, like, We buy everything, but you cannot buy time, and your life can just kind of swoosh around so fast. It's so important to know that your time is just worth so much, and the fact that, you know, we throw out our monies and all that, but we should really be giving our time. And, yeah. So, that was that verse that I had for you, kind of kidding that out there. So, we're going to flip over three chapters. Don't know how many pages would be for you, but to Mark 16, 15, and 16, which would be the next one that I want to talk about. Okay, excellent. Now, so I gave you just a quick minute to, you know, flip over there as I kind of glance through my notes and remember what I need. All right, so verse 15 says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my—'" Oh, I went too far. I accidentally highlighted too much this morning. Got a little highlighter excited. Anyways, so stepping back, we just need those two verses that I talked about earlier. So, back to, you know, I already kind of talked about how we need to give more so of our time and give everything, not just, you know, that little small amount that we tend to give. But this is just saying, like, kind of what our end goal is, you know, because that's ultimately what we're all looking for. We're all trying to get that salvation and hopefully trying to spread it to others as well. And it says, go to all the world. I find that interesting. I personally am a big fan, like, of Iowa, kind of like staying on the ground. I don't really want to go on mission trips, but that's okay because there's tons of opportunities in Iowa or the U.S., whatever. You know, people are always coming into this country, and it just says, like, the whole world. So I think it's really important to know everybody, not just, like, the couple people, you know, that you talk to in your groups and stuff. I mean, yes, it is important, you know, Bible studies, saying that kind of stuff, but it's really important to get out to the others. And in my next verse or whatever, I'll talk a little bit more about that. But also, it says, verse 16, basically, whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, obviously, we know that means, like, you're obviously not going to be partying up in heaven. So I think it's super important that we're, like, getting out now and not waiting, not making excuses. I mean, I definitely do that. I make a lot of excuses to try to get out of things I don't want to do. I do it literally all the time. So I could sit home, play video games, or, you know, lay in bed watching YouTube, whatever it is. But life is incredibly short. And after doing some research and watching this TV show called The Good Doctor with my mom, it's like the average lifespan is about 74 years. And I know that that show is, you know, a little extra, but it just kind of shows you, like, how fast your life can turn around and how fast a friend's life can turn around as well. Like, you can get in a car crash or, you know, you can get some disease or whatever it is. But isn't it good to know that hopefully that there's someone who's trying to help you through that first, you know? Because if there's no one there, I mean, it's just kind of unfortunate, you know, as I've gotten older, matured just a little bit. I've seen, like, I don't know, I just think it's so important that we're helping people and, like, now, you know? Not, like, later, because, I mean, you could go anytime. And I think it's just really important that we kind of reach those people before their time has come, you know? Just give everyone, like, that good chance or that little push to getting to know God. And I find that planting the seed is super important, or something that's really stuck with me, you know, working in camp ministry, to say, you're just there really to plant the seed. You're not going to bring someone to God. You know, you're just kind of pushing them. Ultimately, God does, like, the saving and that kind of stuff. So you're just there. You might never see the result, but it's really good that you're at least there to just kind of plant that. And I think it's super important that we do that, like, right now and not, you know, oh, I'm going to do this. I'll do it next week. I'm busy now or whatever it is, because I'm a huge procrastinator. I say that, and next thing you know, I have 15 missing math assignments and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just like a kind of a dumb example, but I mean, it just kind of shows you that, like, whenever you make these excuses, like, you're going to procrastinate most likely, and then it just never happens. And next thing you know, it's too late. So, oh, that was it for that. That's good. All right. So now we're going to scoot way more towards the back of your Bible. I'd like you to flip, if you'd like, to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All right. So, just going to kind of start reading slowly. Hopefully you get there soon. You know, mark it in your Bible if you think it's good or whatever. So it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I find that interesting. As I was kind of searching up, trying to find verses, and we actually read through Timothy on Wednesday church and that kind of stuff, but it says, all scripture is God-breathed. Interesting. Well, you know, I've heard that the Bible is just no grammatical errors. You know, we all know that the Bible is just perfect. And I think it's really good because we have access to the greatest preaching, talking, whatever you want to call it, tool that you can have. And it's just really good to know because if you're ever concerned or confused and you're trying to help someone, you know, you can always refer to the Bible. I mean, I can't remember what it's called. I was going to write it down, but I completely forgot. I mean, there's websites out there. You just type in a couple words and it gives you 100 Bible verses on that subject. And it's really interesting because it can kind of help you just kind of narrow it down so you can, you know, be able to bring that to a person or whatever you're using it for. Oh, yes. So, it said, we're like equipped. And I think it's interesting, and I had to just throw this in, but we are all tools in God's tool shed. A couple people are going to get that. It's okay. But I think it's really interesting to think about, though, because we have this magical book thing, if you know how to read it. And we're just so equipped to, you know, be able to help people. And I always kind of wonder why people shy away. And it's okay if you're, you know, a little more shy. I'm very outgoing, you know. I wore Crocs this morning just to show that I am fairly outgoing, I guess, if that's a good example. You know, but I mean, you don't have to step up in front of however many people this is. I don't know. You don't have to step up from anyone. It can be one-on-one conversations with people, you know, or just, you know, kind of in background. Maybe you're good computery numbers or something like that, you know. I mean, that's a place for you too. And I mean, you can always use the Bible for that kind of stuff. And I think it's really, you know, just kind of reassuring to know that we have something with us always to help us out with these things, especially when it comes to helping people, which then again, is important. So, make sure I didn't miss anything real quick, because, you know, it'd be important. Yep. All right. So I have one last verse this morning that I kind of want to put forward to you guys, and that is Romans 1:16. I was actually given this verse about a week and a half ago from Dustin, just kind of talking, and, you know, I'll get that later. Anyways, I thought, well, that's a good verse to close it up on, you know? And hopefully you kind of see where I'm going with this. Hopefully I'm good at explaining things. So, hopefully you're there. If not, that is okay. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then to the Gentile. Interessante. Now I see this and I'm like, you know, kind of not describing me, but, you know, I'm a very outgoing person. I don't shy away from much, you know. If someone offers me $10 to do something dumb in public, you know, I'm probably going to do it unless it's, you know, going to go to jail. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be willing to do everything, but I think it just says that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Now, I came up with this little scenario in my head the other day. I thought, it'd be interesting to ask. Who here would be willing to turn around in Fairway, Walmart, or whatever, to the person behind you and just ask them about God? I think it's interesting. There's a guy here who spoke the other day for this Pine Lake thing or whatever, and he goes, every time I go to Walmart, I just try to talk to somebody. I think that's really interesting because I think we're always like ashamed. We live in our little bubble that we live in, and we're always just kind of like scared and shy about what people think of us. But ultimately, it really doesn't matter what people think of us, you know. We're only here for a short amount of time, and in that time, you know, just turning around to talk to someone random, I mean, could seriously impact their life maybe. And sure, maybe your friends make fun of you for it. But I mean, it's really not that big of a deal at the end of it. And ultimately, that goal that we're looking for, to help push people into this, that kind of area where they can hopefully like accept salvation from God, you know, ultimately to live with him. And I just kind of want to put back, because as I was thinking, you know, just trying to decide, you know, exactly what I want to talk about and all that kind of stuff, I kind of thought how it's kind of like talking to us, like, in America, like, it's perfectly legal to go around and do that kind of stuff versus other countries where it's illegal, you know? Like, you get thrown in jail. Not in America. We can go around saying whatever we want, you know? So I think it's just really important that we take those opportunities that we were given just by living in this country to go around, you know, and just try to spread the word to whoever it is. Now, I don't know if you're more like for me, like, you know, I prefer talking to, like, the young kids, or maybe, you know, you're older and you like talking to people your age, whatever it is. I think it's really important that we're just kind of, you know, not being ashamed and scared of what people are thinking of. And, you know, those people making fun of you, the Bible's got answers, you know? So just kind of bring that into your little realm and just trying to talk to them with that. So ultimately, my close and, you know, what I want you to take away from my little 3 cents that I gave you. Basically, I just want to say, like, I really don't think that we're doing enough. Pastor Dave said this last week. That was really interesting. If you think you're doing enough, you are not doing enough. And I think that's 100% true. Like, until, like, you are that poor woman who gave everything, like, are you willing to literally give everything you have to go help people? I think that's interesting because, like, for me, you know, I have things in my life that I really enjoy. Like, I hang on to, like, you know, I'm a big fan of video games. I like my car, that kind of stuff. Would I be willing to get rid of those things to help people? You know, I think it's just really interesting that it shows, like, and I thought it was really interesting the other day when he was saying, like, when you come up to God, you know, and, you know, he does the burn thing, and then what you have left, this is, like, one of those things that I think you can just kind of capitalize on with helping people, and it's just so important because I think, in my opinion, that we're kind of, like, failing this nation and almost the youth of the nation in a way. Because you look at all of the problems that are happening right now with people, like, not sure, like, what gender they are or any stuff like that, you know, drugs, everything. A lot of the time, I think that if we, the people of the church, were doing a better job of, like, sharing the gospel and giving our time and not being so selfish on the things that we enjoy, that maybe, just maybe, we'd be able to kind of help this. Because, I mean, you just kind of look around, and I mean, people who don't raise in a church are most likely, you know, they're maybe, now I'm not trying to stereotype, but, like, you know, they're, I guess I don't know how to say it. We just basically need to be there for those who aren't given that gift of, you know, being raised in the church. Because, like, I was raised in a Christian family, but, like, a lot of my friends, they weren't, they don't go to church. One of my friends said, he's like, yeah, I've been to church one time, and I fell asleep. I mean, people fall asleep in church, that's okay, I guess, as long as you're, you know, getting something out of it or doing something throughout the week, you know, hopefully I'm entertaining enough where you did not fall asleep. But overall, I think, like those are the type of people that we should be trying to reach because there's a need absolutely everywhere for this kind of stuff. And I'll admit, I kind of shy away from, you know, bringing that kind of stuff up if we're, like, in a group fishing or doing whatever we're doing, you know. But I think we should be able to, you know, I mean, we have the gospel, you know, we have, like, the tools that we need. We are told that we should not be ashamed. I don't know, it just kind of always gets stuck in my head that we should really be doing more and trying to help people who don't have the same opportunities as us. And just trying to, you know, get them that gift of salvation because I don't know really what you believe on, like, end times and stuff, but I think it's close, you know? So why shouldn't we be doing it now, you know? So I don't know, I guess that's my 3 cents on that. So that's pretty much all you, oh, I did have one more thing. There, it's talking about, like, the time to start is now. I mean, you have an opportunity right now, you know, with this praise gathering thing. I mean, it's really not that bad talking in front of, like, 2-3 people. I mean, that's basically how many are here. Just imagine it, okay? Like, it's all about that mindset too, I think. If you can just get in your head that it's just, like, I'd always tell myself, I'm just talking today. That's it. Just talking. Not a big deal. You know, it kind of keeps the nerves a little down so I don't forget my things. So what we should do is just go in with that mindset of, well, you're praising God. Doesn't matter what other people think your praise is. It can be like, you know, I survived cancer to down low as, you know, I found a penny on the road. Or I, you know, I'm just trying to say, like, it doesn't really matter what you're going to say. So I think this is a good opportunity to start. And just, I really want to encourage you to take that opportunity to either talk to someone, you know, friend, family member who might not really believe, or take an opportunity to volunteer. because volunteering and just showing people that you actually care means so much to people. It's pretty crazy. Like, just some things I've seen at camp is just, you know, really kind of pulls at your heartstrings a little bit. So I'd like to just pray and close this out, and hopefully you've learned something today. So, yeah, anyways. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity that I have today, just to be able to talk and do a little bit of preaching. God, I just pray that that my message was able to kind of get across, and that people are wanting to go out and be able to help, and that we can just not be ashamed and scared of what people think of us, and that we can be able to go out and share your word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
So just a little clue on, this is all Brandon's, okay? I didn't give him this information. He came up and researched this entire message by himself. He just brought me the outline, and I said, yeah, that looks good. And then we kind of talked about how you deliver it. So I just appreciate Brandon. I appreciate all the students who were on the stage this morning. And what you don't know is some of the people in the back here in the sound booth are our youth that are running the slides and doing the video that's going on. And then you have people that were welcoming you coming in, we're youth, as well as we have one in the Faith Cafe who's been helping out there. Deb put the stuff together for this morning for your drinks later on. So can we just give a round of applause to all these youth? So we're going to begin our praise gathering right now, and as Brandon said, you're going to get a chance here in a little bit to talk about that. We're going to start off with a video. Bench Lecter is going to share his video testimony with us, and so go ahead and run that video, please.
I guess to properly give my full testimony, I have to start off with my childhood, because I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I always had great grandparents, and my great grandpa and grandma from California were devout Christians. And whenever they would come back in the summertime to visit, she would always take the time to talk to me about Jesus. During that time, I remember I was abused by a family member, and every time that would happen, I would think, man, I must be, if Jesus isn't even protecting me, then I must be a pretty bad kid. And she just kept on me about the Lord. And she gave me a book that was, my favorite book was Bible Stories book. And I'd read the Bible that she gave me. And when I was 14, I went to a church camp. And we were, having service one day, and that night we went to our cabin, and I didn't sleep the whole night because I could just feel God, the Holy Spirit, just working on me. And I got baptized the next day, gave my life to the Lord, to come home to be ridiculed for it. And at that time, my parents were different. My dad was different. He was an alcoholic. And every weekend when they would leave the house, I knew what would was going to come home to a brawl, and until I got old enough to put a stop to that, just through prayer, God just finally said one day, you're going to stop this, you're going to make your dad quit, and I did, and he did. From that point, I went to, started visiting churches to try and find a home church, and I was seeing the things that they're preaching on Sunday and the things they're doing Monday through Saturday, and they weren't lining up. So I lost my faith in the church, but I kept my faith in the Lord and the Bible. I was always trying to find something to kill that pain from the things I went through as a kid. It was always sports. And injury as a sophomore caused me to lose some of that. So from the time I was 17 till now, probably 22 or 23, I was searching for that something else to kill that pain. And I turned to booze, and I mean, did a lot of heavy drinking. And when I was 23, I had been out drinking the night before. A friend of mine had stopped at my house about 4:30 in the morning when I was getting ready for work. And I had some guys that I'd worked with on the pipeline weren't letting him pick up his girlfriend. So I told him if he couldn't find anybody else to go with him, I'd go with him. And I ended up going with him, and the kid that was in that apartment had come out with a knife. He stuck me a couple times, got me in the heart, and I get to downstairs, there's an officer waiting for me, and I sat down, and I thought that, like, that was it. You know, I could see, I knew I was dying, and I got in the ambulance, and I could hear everything they were saying, but I couldn't respond. I wasn't breathing, none of that. And then we get to, there was a period of nothing, and then I could, while I was in the ER, I could hear my mom praying, and I was in the emergency room, and she was outside in the parking lot. I had no idea, but I could hear her praying, and I could see what they were doing to me. And it seemed like an hour. It was probably like 5 minutes. And I remember waking up, and a guy that I went to high school with was holding my head. I'd ask him, you know, what's going on? Am I gonna make it? What's going on? And he said, you know, we're not sure, we're gonna try. And I very, very vividly remember this overwhelming feeling of peace, like, and it's giving me goosebumps. I could just feel the Lord was just, it felt like he was right there with me. And we went into surgery, excuse me, and during that time of surgery, after I woke up, they told me that they'd lost me like 3 times. But during that process, I never told anybody about this, so it's difficult to talk about. But I could see my family and friends. There's a whole, there was enough people at the hospital that they had to tell people to stop coming in. And I could see all that for some reason. And then everything went back to, there was no, like, I was passed out or whatever, sleeping. But a couple days later, I woke up and all these tubes are coming out of me. And at that time, my dad and I still weren't, you know, I still had so much anger towards him from the things that happened when I was a kid. And he's the first person I saw when I woke up, and he's telling me that when I was laying there, that I was telling him Jesus was gonna, God, the Lord was saving me. And that changed him as well. But that's the first big experience. Then I went through a period of, I think, survivor's remorse, because I would see all these kids dying and trying to figure out why the Lord would even save someone like me. You know, I wasn't living a Christian life at the time. I was trying, but failing miserably. And I went through a period of deep depression where I actually slit my wrists, tried to take my own life. And once again, I felt like God was right there to wake me up. And So I stopped, slowed down the drinking, and I got myself moved down to the metro, and just to get away from the things that were causing me to do the things I was doing back here. But I was down there, and excuse me, I come back for a visit one weekend, and I told my mom, and I'd been praying about it. I said, you know, I think I'm just going to sell the house in Indianola and come back here and adopt some kids, because I knew I wanted to be a dad, but I wasn't sure that I'd be a good husband. And she told me, she said, God has something for you. And like 2 weeks later, I met Nicole. And this whole time, I've been trying to figure out why God had saved me. And it was almost the minute that I met her, I knew, okay, he's preparing me for this. And that blessing changed my life to get back to finding a home church and serving like I'm supposed to serve. Because I've always wanted to help people, especially kids. And I think the reason all those things happened to me, the reason God let those things happen to me when I was a kid was to prepare me to help kids. And at that, when you're a kid, you don't understand, I guess, why those bad things are happening to you. But the Lord has used all those things to prepare me for what I'm doing now. And I wholeheartedly believe that all those things, he uses everything for good. And I think that's why he put me through the abuse and the things that I went through with my childhood and the all the alcohol and everything else I did to try and kill that pain. Just band-aided it for a while until I finally just surrendered and gave it to the Lord. That's what ultimately took the pain away. It doesn't always, you still have bad days, but the Lord saved me in more than one way, more than one time. But that's what's ultimately prepared me for doing what I'm doing now with the FCA ministry. But that's my testimony in a nutshell.